Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of
welcome, friends, to another broadcast of Morsels for Zion's Poor.
The kingdom of God is governed by the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As a man, he has demonstrated his own sinless character while being tempted in all points like other men. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He is a kind and benevolent ruler. Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. While he has both the power and right to rule as the most powerful despot the world has ever seen, and whom no man could ever call into question, yet he has revealed himself as one whose kingdom is hedged about by two immutable principles which emanate from his very person. Righteousness is the scepter of his kingdom. A scepter was that official instrument of recognition and acceptance which an ancient king would hold in his hand, whereby either to accept a person into his presence or by withholding it to banish them. There is but one scepter in this kingdom of righteousness, and it is the righteousness of Christ. Without this priceless commodity, a man cannot be received into this kingdom, nor have any sort of approach unto him who dwells in the light, to which no man can approach. Many are those who expect to come into the Lord's presence with their own righteousness. They have no knowledge that we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. What a wondrous grace is bestowed upon men when they are made to know themselves to be unworthy and caused to flee unto Christ as their only righteousness in heaven or on earth. As surely as this kingdom is one of righteousness, so too is it a kingdom which is hedged about with judgment. The Lord has sent his Spirit to convince the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. His judgment is sure and steadfast. He may show mercy, but he shall demonstrate judgment in the earth, even as he already has in the heavens, when he cast out one third of its inhabitants. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. All of the philosophies and religions of men are designed to supposedly prepare men for that judgment, or to put it out of their mind as one might whistle as they pass by the graveyard. This is primarily why we find the penchant of some to deny the creation of all things by a sovereign creator. For if we have a beginning which is solely in his hands, then surely we must have an ending which involves coming into his presence. Among other reasons, this is primarily why men hate the preaching of the gospel, of the glory of the blessed God. For nowhere in the annals of time has the judgment of God been seen in its grandest, most solemn, and awful display than when the eternal Father did pour out his wrath upon his only begotten Son on the account of the sin of his people, which was laid upon his back. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The preaching of the cross is an offense unto the natural man, because it reveals that the only acceptable righteousness in the kingdom of heaven is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It is also an offense to the natural man because it reveals the judgment of God from heaven upon both the sin and the righteousness of men. This is totally unacceptable to men by nature, who are convinced that they can influence God by their deeds of obedience and the activity of what they call faith. They find it reprehensible that salvation is the gift of God and is not determined by anything which the creature can bring or perform. As Cain grew angry at the Lord's rejection, so too do those men who expect to worship the Lord as they see fit. Righteousness and judgment are met in Christ, and all who are moved by sovereign grace to behold themselves as sinners, and he alone as worthy of worship, will of necessity fall down at his feet and give him praise, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Have you fled to him?
For a free CD containing 15 of these radio broadcasts, send an email to forthepoor@windstream.net.